My dad, when he was dying, we took him. I took him home, and he didn't want to go home, but was, you know, they said they wouldn't keep him in the hospital. And it was I don't know, it was like a Monday or something, and my my cousin a couple. That John kid, I don't know what he is. But he's like my
cousin once removed, or something like that.
So my cousin and his sister and their spouses came to the house, and my dad started telling them this story, and he'd been sort of out of it, and he like all of a sudden was himself, right? Like animated and telling the story, and it was a typical story like my dad always told, that really kind of. It was kind of a Shaggy Dog story, and you know, it was about fishing or whatever. And and he gets done telling the story, and that's where you would like, oh yeah. But it was kind of a dumb story, like it didn't really have a payoff. Like most of his stories didn't. He just liked to hear himself talk. What if I just started crying right now?
I'd love it.
That would be fantastic.
I think it would be closure.
But he got done with the story, and it was like a story that he's told a million times before. And, you know, you just kind of go, oh, yeah, whatever. I mean, you guys were around him, you know. He just
He could talk.
Yeah. And he gets all done with it, and then he realizes it's, like, not even that good of a story. And he looks at me like, which was all, that's what I wanted him to do my whole life, was just go,
right.
Like, I'm full of shit, right?
Like, this doesn't
but
make
not
sense.
In a bad, in right. a, not in a bad way, more just like a, I get it.
I guess that wasn't that good a story.
Here I go again.
It's like, I get, he kind of looked at me like, I get it. You know, I can see why you might have been a little impatient with me or whatever.
Exactly.
And then that was he never talked again after that, really.
Well, but think about something, okay?
And he was all energetic and everything, and then he just went.
Well, he reached his peak, and it was almost like he was getting ready, okay, in a physical way, but emotionally, he was actually preparing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they actually have a sixth sense that they're going to go. It's or something's not right. But he was actually preparing at his best. And when they do pass, they become their best, and they do. So you got a glimpse of something you were always waiting for.
It's the I'm telling you, it's the craziest thing, because he actually had some. I always felt that he lacked the ability to be introspective. You know, which was irritating to me, and. He actually, like, demonstrated it.
Right.
He looked at me like, Jesus, really? Is this what I always sound like?
Right.
It was the most bizarre thing. And that, it was like his last burst of energy. And all of the hospice nurses said that kind of thing happens a lot. That people will come home and they'll have some just this moment.
It's where, a burst of energy.
You have clarity and,
yeah, it is.
And everything. And then that'll be it.
I call that in between worlds.
Yeah, it was really, I mean,
it is.
It was really something. I was like,
yeah.
I was kind of pissed that he was like putting on a show for my cousins.
It was the last show.
Right. But then he looked at me like, you know, right on the money there.
Yeah.
You're
which
right.
I mean, and I wasn't looking to be mean or anything about it.
No.
It was just an odd moment of self-awareness for him. And it was like the very last thing he did.
Truth. And how, all right, but think about what a gift he gave you. He finally gave you some validation at the end.
Yeah, at the I mean,
think about that. Yeah. This is something you've been fighting your whole life, and that's the coolest memory that you got. So think about the gift he left you.
Yeah,
just that sigh, like really.
Yeah,
you probably were waiting for this most
my whole
of your life.
No,
yeah,
I'm not even sure I'm describing it very well. I mean, you guys knew him, but he was just always like, you know, I'm a millionaire. I'm a this. I'm a that. And you know, explain. You know, he always knew more than everybody else.
A lot of haughty.
But you have to understand, he was more like a overgrown child in a lot of ways, and he was.
Yeah. But it was just so bizarre, because it was like such a moment of clarity that, and I would have never expected it. Because the whole time I was with him for like 3 or 4 weeks, he was a complete asshole in the hospital to everybody, like ungrateful and just, you know, just like, oh, give me some more water. It's just driving me fucking nuts.
But he was like that in life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Why would that be different?
No, I know.
Right?
I don't know.
Think about that. Right. See, again, seeing him for what he was instead of what you just kind of hope and wished.
Yeah.
That's where we get our peace.
Right.
It's hard to explain.
No, yeah, but I...
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely I do. Because my wife keeps... We sort of were estranged. And my wife kind of brokered a truce between us after my brother passed away.
Okay.
And she still gets sad sometimes that for all the wasted years, but I don't feel that way because it ended up okay.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
To me, it is. I mean, I guess there were wasted years, but that wasn't really
I don't think
my
it's a
fault.
Waste. I don't see it as a waste. I think it when you remove yourself from a negative, toxic environment, you become a better person. When mm-hmm. It's almost like that energy sucks you in.
It's like what you described earlier about the woman choosing between a lousy childhood and having her husband and her happiness and four kids later in life. It's like, well, however you got there, however right. you arrived at that, that seems to be the more important
yeah,
part.
Yeah, so true. You couldn't have said it better, and that's very true.
Right on, Doc.
Yeah, I like that.
Did Roger have any regrets as a father to Steve?
Roger had regrets in how he handled a lot of things. It isn't just Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I have regrets about how I acted, too.
Well, you know...
But I don't want to have to die to so you can pass those along.
Actually, I don't think you have to die, because I think you're pretty much there. As far as your soul growth, let me remind you of that. Everything you've had to go through, you mm-hmm. needed to do that. That was your awakening in many ways. I always say, you know, people that are more difficult in life, they are really the true mm-hmm. old souls. Now you're going to say, no. You're kidding. It's not the old man, the person who acts like the old man and very mature. And no, people say, oh, that's an old soul. No, that's not an old soul. An old soul is actually somebody who's you know, had radical changes throughout their whole life. And coming into this world, they set the bar even harder and higher.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the more difficult somebody is in our life, maybe they were the sacrifice for us to learn and grow because mm-hmm. of that. That's how you have to kind of look at it.
You're welcome, Brendan.
There you go.